Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. This is your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope we'll get to hear from you as well with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. We'll be giving out those phone numbers here, but let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air again tonight. Just pray, Father, that you would bless, use the program this evening for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight and to point people towards Christ. And we just thank you again for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be on tonight. And if you've got a question, like I said, about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And that'll get you on the air live with us here this evening. And we're sure glad to have you. What a beautiful day out there. A little bit warm, but a beautiful weekend. And if you were in the right location, you could have seen a little bit of the solar eclipse today. We're too far east to have seen the entire thing. It would have occurred just as the sun was going down. We couldn't see anything where we were, but some people might have had a chance to see that. If you want to see it again, I guess the next one's coming around another 100 years or so. But that's a particular type of solar eclipse, an annular one, not annual, but annular, where it's like a ring of fire around the sun. And I haven't had a chance to go online. There's some sites online like space.com or NASA's site. I can't think of what that is off the top of my head, but probably have pictures of that on there by now. People out in California should have had tremendous view of that eclipse, a total eclipse, but it didn't completely eliminate the sun. It was just enough that there was a little ring of fire around the sun, which is kind of interesting. So you don't get that pitch black. Probably if you go online, you'll find some live streams of that. Probably you could Google that or something like that. Also, though, coming up later on, Venus, the planet Venus, is going to go across the sun, and they call it the Venus Transit. And that'll be going across, I think it's about June 4th or 5th, somewhere in there. And maybe we think about that. We'll mention that. And let's see. I was going to mention some other things that's happening in the world today. Certainly the situation in the Middle East is not getting any better. The Muslim Brotherhood is forming a coalition government with some of the other groups there in Egypt, and they are poised to take over total control of the Egyptian government. Right now, the Egyptian military has partial control over the government, and the Muslim Brotherhood and the other parties in the coalition they have already said that Israel is enemy number one. And the Muslim Brotherhood has said that as soon as they have total control of the government, the treaty, the Camp David Accord with Israel that brought peace between Egypt and Israel, is null and void. Now, that's not surprising, because if you remember your history, when Anwar Sadat, the leader of Egypt at the time, during the late 70s, he signed the Camp David Accords under President Carter, and he signed that with Israel, and they had a peace agreement there. Well, the Muslim Brotherhood assassinated Anwar Sadat at that time directly as a result of his signing that treaty with Israel. They They assassinated him, and in the aftermath, Mubarak came to power, and of course, he was in opposition to the Muslim Brotherhood in most respects. Well, now the Muslim Brotherhood is going to basically be calling the shots in Egypt, and they have decreed that they are going to break that the treaty, because Israel is enemy number one. So that is not boding well for the situation in the Middle East. And excuse me, the nation, the Muslim Brotherhood, I might point out, originally actually was formed back in the 20s, I believe it was, and their original purpose was to get rid of the British control of Egypt and return Egypt back to a fundamental Islamic state. And it's interesting. The book, or the Bible, has a little bit to say about Egypt that's going to be yet in the future. And certainly one of the things that's interesting, the book of Joel says in Joel 3:15, Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. Of course, Edom would have been there in the south of Israel, and Egypt there to the southwest. And then we read over in Ezekiel chapter 29, it says, the land of Egypt, starting in verse 9, says, the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord, because he has said, the river is mine, and I have made it. That'd be a reference to the Nile River, which was the life's blood of the Egyptian civilization, the Egyptian state or nation. He says, he continues, behold, therefore I am against thee and against thy rivers, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, from the tower of Sinai even unto the border of Ethiopia. Now, this is an interesting passage, because Ezekiel was writing this, this had not occurred at that time. And it hasn't occurred yet. And so when you see these prophetic statements that have this kind of detail that have not yet, or that haven't been fulfilled in the Bible, then we have to understand that they're yet future. And he says this about this desolation of Egypt. He says, no foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years. Now, there's not a time in history where Egypt was utterly desolate with nobody living there for 40 years. And he even goes further. He says, and I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and I will disperse them through the countries. That's just simply not happened. And making Egypt desolate among the nations that are desolate says that this is going to happen at a time that other nations are made desolate. And we've been studying at the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, on Sunday mornings. We've been studying Israel in history and Israel in prophecy. And that's what we're looking at right now. And I believe that there's going to be some form of a battle of some sort that could be shaping up in Egypt or in the Middle East at any time, that's going to result in a considerable amount of devastation in the Middle Eastern region. A lot of people see things that are happening in Egypt and they think, is this Ezekiel 38, the battle where we see the nations allied against arraigned against Israel coming to invade them, and Ezekiel talks about that. And could this be that invasion setting up? But I don't think that what we see in the Middle East right now is that, precisely because Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse number 11, when it talks about the nations that come against Israel, they're saying in verse 11, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, I will go to them that are at rest and that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. That is not Israel today. Israel is a land of walled villages. They are not at rest. They're fearful of war. They're fearful of attack. They're dwelling behind walls. They have bars and gates. All because they have suicide bombers that have been attacking them. They have rockets that rain out of various points into Israel. One of the big points, of course, is from the north out of Syrian Lebanon area, up in that area. And, of course, there's materials being brought into Gaza, the Gaza Strip area. And Egypt has said that Israel's going to be enemy number one. They believe that Israel has to be destroyed, that the Jewish presence in the Middle East is a blot that has to be removed. They're evil occupiers, and it's the duty of all good Muslims to drive the evil Zionists out of the Middle East. And so we see that, and we see Egypt suddenly in the Bible being utterly desolate, and the Egyptians not even being able to live in their country for a period of 40 years. It's been desolate. And instead of exterminating all the Jews, which is what the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Hamas and Hezbollah and all of these other groups that are active in the Middle East there have sworn to do, instead the Egyptians are driven out of their land. And let's come back to that in a minute. Syria right now is on, I'd say on the brink of civil war, but it actually probably is a civil war already going on in Syria. Bashar Assad is trying to hold his country together. He's trying to maintain his iron grip on his country. And the Syrian faction or rebel faction is trying to topple Assad's government, and a fear is that Assad will launch an attack against Israel in a bid to rally Syrians behind him and unify the country behind him. And so we have the Iranians pumping arms and materials into Syria, backing Assad's government. And we know that there's thousands of Iranian troops in Syria. And so we've got this battle. And it's kind of interesting looking and the thought that Syria might try to attack Israel from the north. We have in Isaiah in chapter 17, we have a passage that begins, let me get turned over here in Isaiah chapter 17. And starting in verse 1, it says, "The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aurora are forsaken, they shall be for flocks which shall lie down, none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. And in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean." But the point is, Damascus is taken away. It becomes a heap. It's destroyed. And we've not seen that take place. The kingdom, he says, is taken away from Damascus and the remnant of Syria. And that doesn't bode well for Syria in that prophecy. And when you look at this, here's Syria aligned in a position where it very well could launch an attack on Israel. Now, the Iranians would love for that to happen because they think that would keep the Israelis from attacking Iran. And as a result, you could see where the Iranians might try to encourage the Syrians to do so and to attack there. Now, where am I going with this? Well, we have other passages indicating other areas around Israel being suffering tremendous devastation. We read in Psalm 83, where we see fire The picture of fire destroying Israel's enemies in Psalm 83. Let me turn over there and read that, and we'll get to our callers here in just a moment. But we have the enemies of Israel in Psalm 83 saying in verse 4, they have said, "Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." And you go read through the current writings of these various Islamic groups, and you'll read almost word for word that. And it's talking about them being destroyed. And it says in verse number 13, "O my God, make them like a wheel, as a stubble before the wind, as a fire burneth wood, as a flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm." I haven't read the entire psalm, but I encourage you to read that. Somebody asked me one time if that was a prophetic psalm, and that challenged me to take a look at that. And then another one to turn over to here, and that's the little book of Obadiah. And Obadiah is just one chapter, and it has to do with prophecy against Edom primarily. It starts out with that, or Esau, the descendants of Esau there to the south of Israel. And it says this in the little book of Obadiah, talking about coming down to the end of it. Verse 17 says, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions," meaning those of Edom, "and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it." And then it goes on to say, verse 19, "And they of the south," that's the Jewish people living in the south of Israel, "shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain," the Philistines, that would be where the Gaza Strip is today in that area, "they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria." That's going to be in where the West Bank territories are, "and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captivity of this host, the children of Israel, shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath," that's getting up into modern-day Lebanon, "and the captivity of Jerusalem," remember, East Jerusalem, the Palestinian, the Arab Palestinians claim that as their own, which is in Zarephath, "shall possess the cities of the south." And so we see this, again, this picture of a fire burning, and areas such as Egypt being uninhabitable. There's other passages that talk about in Babylon and in some other areas. And you'll notice those places we've mentioned on the air here in recent weeks, a lot of these areas are not mentioned in Ezekiel 38, Egypt and the area where Jordan is today, as well as Syria and Lebanon. And I believe that's because there's going to be a battle that we could see shaping up, where Israel's going to be backed into a corner. And just my guess, I'm not saying anything prophetic here, believe me, but just my guess from reading current events and reading the Bible, I believe that Israel's going to get backed into a corner where due to some kind of devastating attack on Israel, and they feel their own life is at stake as a nation, they are going to tap into their nuclear arsenal, and they are going to destroy the enemies that are around about them. And I believe that that will set them up for being a land of unwalled villages, because the passage there talking about Damascus in Isaiah being destroyed, Israel is made thin, which indicates that they suffer terrific damages themselves, and their military appears to be devastated as well, but they survive. A Pyrrhic victory, any more like that, they wouldn't be able to survive. And you could see a strong leadership coming out of Europe, which is on the verge of collapse right now, economic collapse and possible other collapse. But you could see Europe coming together, and a strong leader out of Europe coming in, and the world saying never again should there be a nuclear war like this, a regional nuclear war, and they could guarantee Israel's safety. Oh, let's say that a strong man out of Europe says, I can guarantee a 7-year peace treaty, just like in Daniel chapter 9, when the prince of the people that come, meaning those that destroy Israel and destroy Jerusalem, which was the Roman Empire, would sign a 7-year treaty with Israel, and he brings peace. They lay down their arms. The world agrees to defend Israel, and Israel now is a land of unwalled villages, dwelling at rest, thinking they're safe. No bars, no gates, certainly different from the Israel of today. And then that's where this coalition led by Russia, as well as Iran and Libya, Ethiopia, different countries, I won't get into that right now, align themselves together, and they decide to come in and invade Israel and take it like like plucking a ripe fig. Well, I said a plum, but that's in the Middle East, so it'd be figs, I guess. But at any rate, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Talked a little bit longer than I realized I was talking there, but a subject that we've been looking at a lot here lately at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, and kind of exciting, I think, when you see things happening in the world today. And if you've got a question, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we have, I believe, Nancy in Euclid waiting patiently for me. So, Nancy, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you very much for taking my call. And as you recall, last week at the very end of the show, I called in to mention the heartbeat bill rally.
Yes.
That
yes.
can be held at the State House in Columbus.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was very blessed because Pastor Ernie Sanders happened to have three cancellations on his bus, so I was able to go with a bunch of friends, with John and Tom and the two Grandma Marges, I don't know if you know them, from Pastor Ernie Sanders Church,
mm-hmm.
and Grover was there. Grover, if you're there, call in. We want to hear from you, too. And Brother Ken Sundermeyer,
mm-hmm.
An excellent, excellent rally. The bus left from Doors of the Word at 8 a.m., and we were in Columbus about 10:45. We picked up a whole bunch of people in the Akron area. But it was a real blessing to be there. Excellent speakers. The Janet Folger Porter, she's such a dynamic leader and speaker, and she headed up this rally. Must have been about 20 speakers. Each one of them was excellent. So I just wanted to, pass that on, that it was, really an excellent rally right in front of the State House.
Well, the weather was perfect for it, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good to be there, and really got me excited, more excited than before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you explained about the heartbeat bill, how it would save, if it got passed, and it's been in the Senate for about a year, so this is going to be the big push. The next four
right.
weeks, they want Janet Porter encouraged us to email or call Senate President Tom Niehaus,
mm-hmm.
Senator Keith Faber, Senator Jones, Senator Patton, the whole bunch of the senators. And so if the listeners could, help us in this respect, that would be very helpful, because it's going to be a big push in the next 4 weeks. Thank you very much.
And I appreciate that. And do call in with some updates periodically on the status of that. And this is something that is very much opposed by those on the left, because they, it's basically abortion and without restriction is almost like a sacred thing for those on the left. It's kind of interesting, and we're just running out of time here before the break. We heard a thing on the news earlier today, an account of a school down, I think it's in South Carolina somewhere, it might be, but they were fined $15,000 because they had a pop machine that was dispensing soda pop during the time they were serving lunch. And the U.S. government, the federal government, fined it. And the guy that was reporting it and talking about it, a girl who graduated from, I guess, that school or something about a year ago said that she knew of girls who were underage, under 18, having abortions there, and when they were able to go in and get cleared to have this abortion, saying, well, they were old enough to have an abortion, but they weren't old enough to know what they could choose to drink during lunch, whether they wanted wanted pop or milk.
Yes,
you know, and it's amazing. There's no consistency. There's no logic on, well, there is logic on the left. It's bad logic. It's illogic. So, but, you know, this is the holy grail for those on the left, and they know that the moment that people understand that unborn child is just exactly that, a child, it's a living human being, they know that the case for abortion begins to disappear. I mean, it's just when people realize that deciding whether or not abortion should be allowed is a case of deciding under what circumstances a human life should be ended. That's not going to do well for the abortion rights activists. I mean, they have to justify why an innocent human life that's not done anything to anybody has to be killed merely for the convenience of somebody else. And that's why they fight against having, remember when they fought against the women being provided ultrasounds? You know, they wanted a mandatory ultrasound? And they fought against that because the moment people realize that's a living human being, the case for abortion begins to fall apart. Well, I hear our music coming, and we're coming up on the break here. And we're going to have a big announcement, actually, regarding our program after the break. And I hope you'll be able to stick with it. We've just got a few seconds, but we'll get that announcement out here after the break. Stick with us for another half of Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. www.lifeinlight.us, or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And, of course, Late Night Live is brought to you, as we said, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. Sure invite you to visit us there. It's also brought to you by Frank's Antiques and Collectibles, Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. And you can visit Frank's Antiques in North Royalton on State Route 82, and I just forgot the address there. That's okay. But Frank's Antiques on in North Royalton is located on Route 82. That's there in the center of North Royalton, and you can, that's Royalton Road, and you can visit Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. You can go there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, noon until 5 p.m., and encourage you to give him a visit and let him know that you heard about him right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And going into the break in the last half of our program, I mentioned that we have a big announcement in regards to the program here, and don't worry, we're not quitting. That's not what it is. If you're looking to that, that's not it. But no, we do have an announcement, so we had decided to go all out on our announcement, so we have a drum roll and a big announcement. Here it goes. Hi, this is Pastor Al. After nearly 6 years of answering Bible questions and discussing current events Sunday nights at 11, I'm coming to Fridays as well. Join me Friday afternoons at 1:30 for Live with Pastor Al. Prophecy, dinosaurs, UFOs, sin and salvation, you never know what we're going to talk about next. Join the conversation, Live with Pastor Al, Friday afternoons at 1:30, here on AM 1220, The Word. Who says you have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible? All right. Well, that's our announcement. Well, hope it didn't disappoint you too much, but appreciate the drum roll on that. And we thank our engineer Derek in there, and he helped out with that. And we are going to be on, in addition to our Sunday night program. Don't worry, we'll still be here next Sunday night, unless the Lord comes back, of course. But we'll be here Sunday night, 11 to 12, just like normal. But starting this coming Friday, we will be on Friday afternoon at 1:30. It'll be just about like the program we have right now, only it'll be in the afternoon. It'll be a half hour long. And we'll welcome your calls at that time as well. But we're kind of excited about it. We would have probably promoted this last week as well, but last week we didn't know for sure we were going to be on this coming Friday night. So that's the 25th, and I'm sorry, Friday the afternoon. I knew I'd say Friday night. Bear with me. Probably I'll come on Friday afternoon and say, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, even though it'll be 1:30 in the afternoon. But we're excited about the opportunity to be on. We're excited about the open door that we have. And we've been excited to have this opportunity. And so appreciate your prayers. It's your prayers that have made it possible, and appreciate people that have helped support, like Frank at Frank's Antiques. Without his support and encouragement and his financial help, we probably wouldn't be able to do this as easily, and certainly without the help and prayers of the people at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we really wouldn't be able to do this. And also the help and prayers, we have people occasionally send us $5 or $10. If you've been listening to the program for any length of time, you know, we don't spend a lot of time trying to, you know, make you feel guilty for not sending us money. But there are people that every once in a while send us a couple dollars here or there, and we sure appreciate that. And certainly don't refuse that if you want to, if you feel led to do that. Pray for us, and God's provided. And you know, if anybody's interested in helping sponsor the afternoon program, you can certainly give us a call at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. That's 330-659-6561, 330-659-6561. And if you'd like to help out with that, or or if you just like to send something along to help out, we appreciate that as well. But most of all, we need your prayers, and invite people to listen. A lot of people over the years have been saying that they'd sure like to listen if you were only on earlier, and we just haven't had the opportunity. We haven't had the funding, and the Lord has made some money available here just recently, and so we're going to give it a try. Friday afternoon, starting this coming Friday, 1:30 in the afternoon, be a half-hour program, live with Pastor Al. We couldn't very well call it late night live, and it certainly wasn't late enough to say late in the afternoon live, so we just dropped the late part altogether and went with live with Pastor Al. So we're looking forward to that. And we have Jerry in Ohio called in. Jerry, are you there, Jerry?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome. And just kind of can't hear you very well. Can you speak a little more into your phone?
Yeah, I'd just like to say you have a great show.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate that, and thank you for that.
I was wondering if you can keep me in prayer. If you can keep me in prayer and also keep my family in prayer. And pray for a special request for a wife, a soulmate.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly the way to approach it is that is ask people to pray. People searching for a wife, people searching for a husband, ask people to pray, and God's people praying, and God begins to work, and He can bring that right person into your life. And I know many people that have found husbands and wives that way, and God blessed me, and I think He blessed my wife, but I don't know whether it was a good answer to prayer on her part or not. I think got the better end of the deal on my part, or I got the better end. But
of course, I'm well involved in my church, so I go to church regularly. So maybe one of these Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or Wednesday nights that she'll walk in the door and she'll be the one.
Right. Well, and certainly be praying for, encourage people to pray for you there. And thanks for that compliment as well on the program, and appreciate your prayer for us as well. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And if you want to get on the program here tonight, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, you can give us a call here tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And we will go ahead and do that. Get you on the air there. We got somebody calling in, I think, right now. But again, one of the reasons that we went with this Friday afternoon show, like we said, there are people who want to listen, and sometimes people stay up for the first half of the program, and I guess we probably could have done our announcement the first half to catch them, but we know that there are people who try to stay awake, and it can be difficult. I know the feeling. I get up in the morning, and I got to get ready. We have our morning Bible study at 10 there at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, and then the morning service at 11, and then I got a nursing home service at 5 or at 3:30, and by the time I get out of the nursing home and get to the church, it's time to start our 6 o'clock service, get done with the 6 o'clock service, and get home, hopefully get enough time to get a little bite to eat, and get ready and get up here to the radio station in time for our 11 o'clock program, get home probably about 12:30. It's kind of a long day, kind of a busy day, I guess, but we enjoy doing it. And we're looking forward to being on in the afternoon now during the week, where we might be able to pick up a few more people who are a little more awake at that time. So we'll see how that happens. Appreciate your prayers. And so, again, join us Friday at 1:30, and then again Sunday night at 11. Well, we've got John in Cleveland calling in now. And John, are you there?
Yes.
Hey,
hello.
Good evening. Welcome.
How are you tonight?
Good. I'm doing well.
Good. I had a question about Genesis 3:15.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if you could read it, and then I'll ask my question.
All right. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. And let me get flipped over here and get onto that right page. Fortunately, I got to get my glasses lined up where I can read it just right. But This is where God is pronouncing a curse upon, he's pronounced a curse, or will pronounce a curse on Adam and Eve for their sin, and he's cursing the serpent here, and actually the verse starts in verse number 14, and so I'm going to go ahead and read verse 14 as well as verse 15, just so we can read the whole sentence. He says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly, or thy belly, shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will," and here's verse 15, "and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel."
I was wondering if you noticed anything unusual about verse 15.
Unusual in what sense?
Well, I had never noticed it before, but isn't usually during the reproductive process, isn't it usually the man that produces the seed?
Actually, that is a very good observation there. And the part of the reason for that is that this passage indicates that the Messiah, when he came, would not have a human father.
So my question is, who do you feel that the woman is?
Well, the woman here that he's speaking to directly, of course, is Eve. But when he's saying to thy seed, and he's talking about we're moving into sometimes people call this the proto-gospel. This is the first messianic prophecy, just like we have Abraham and Abraham's seed talked about in the Bible, and then it'll go on and talk about people who are, you know, many generations removed from Abraham, and it'll refer to them as Abraham's children, Abraham's son, Abraham's seed. Jesus was referred to as the son of David. And of course, David lived many, many, many generations before Jesus.
But isn't this the first case of the Bible talking about a woman having a seed?
This is what I was getting at, is this is the first messianic prophecy, the first indication of the virgin birth of the coming Savior, because this seed, that's the seed of a woman, is the one that's going to bruise the serpent's head. And so though Eve is the one involved here, we're talking many generations removed now, and this is the first, as I said, the first messianic prophecy referring to the coming Savior. Of course, this is why Isaiah said that a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, not a young woman, as modern translations wrongly interpret it. It's a virgin that gave birth to Jesus Christ, and so Mary never impregnated in the normal sense of the act. She gave birth to Christ without the benefit of a human father, because God created within her what was necessary to provide that completed DNA to form the body of the Christ child. And this is the first prophecy of that. And so Jesus, of course, then is going to bruise the head, which would be a fatal wound. Certainly, if you got struck in the head with a sword, that would be a fatal wound as opposed to being struck in the heel. And the devil, of course, bruised the heel of Christ. He thought that he had done something to Christ when he got him to the cross and had him crucified, but of course the grave didn't hold him. Jesus rose from the grave 3 days, 3 nights later, and Jesus will, of course, destroy the devil, and he will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity.
So the woman in Genesis 3:15 is the Virgin Mary, right?
Oh, I didn't say that. You're not following what I'm saying. He's talking to Eve here, but he's making a prophetic statement that's going to apply later on, and it's the prophetic aspect of this that tells us that one day, ultimately, a descendant of Eve who was deceived by the devil. Ultimately, one of her descendants would be a virgin-born savior or messiah who would defeat the devil.
So you feel that...
And then there's application to Mary, but he was speaking to Eve and to Adam and to the devil at this point.
So you feel that the woman in Genesis 3:15 is Eve instead of the Virgin Mary?
Well, John, you'll have to enlighten me where you're going with this, or I can't explain anymore. The woman specifically is Eve. I'll say it one more time. The woman specifically is Eve.
Okay.
And it's prophetically referring to what was fulfilled when the Virgin Mary gave birth and brought the Christ child into the world. So there's a prophetic application that was fulfilled with Eve, with Mary, but it was Eve, and in a sense, this is a promise to Eve that though she disobeyed God, God would turn things around, and the end result was there would be a blessing of the Messiah who would come into the world.
Any children that Eve would have produced would have been Adam's seed, wouldn't they?
Well, obviously, Cain was born in chapter 4, and they rejoiced because they had a man from the Lord. It says that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she thought maybe this might be the one, but he wasn't, precisely because he was not a virgin-born child. He was born as a result of Adam and Eve coming together. And the proto-gospel in Genesis 3:15 was a prophecy pointing to what took place when Mary, without the benefit of a husband, or without the benefit of a human father, begat Jesus Christ. Eve had many children with Adam. She had many children. There's Cain, there was Abel, there was Seth. They had brothers, they had sisters. She had many children. She lived probably for hundreds of years having children.
But you still feel that the woman in Genesis 3:15 is Eve, though, right?
Well, I can't explain it anymore, so we'll have to let it go at that, John. I appreciate the call. Don't know where you were going with that. Don't know how I can explain it any further. Eve was there. God was talking to Adam and Eve and Lucifer. And, of course, the prophetic statement that was given to Eve was fulfilled when Mary, as the Virgin Mary, was found with child of the Holy Spirit, and she brought, according to Isaiah's prophecy, that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. She brought the Christ child into the world. So I guess we'll have to let it go at that. Appreciate that call, and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a Bible question or a question about current events in light of God's Word, feel free to give us a call here tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we have Keith in Cleveland calling in. And Keith, are you there?
Hello, Pastor Al. Hi, you're in Canton, and I really thank the Lord for faithful pastors. You know, they're many times few and far between. But what were those references? Really fascinating study. I know you're very detailed and accurate and faithful to the Word of God. What are those references as far as these nations, I think there was a passage in Ezekiel and so forth?
Let me see if I can give you a couple of them. I had a couple noted here. Let me dig down and see if I can find some of these papers again here. Let's see. We have Obadiah. There's only one chapter in Obadiah. And it has, in Obadiah chapter 1, especially when you get down about verse 15, down toward the end of the chapter, there's some prophecy against Esau, the Philistines, and things like that. Some of the West Bank territories and Jordan would be encompassed with Gilead. And then Isaiah chapter 17, really starting right at the start, deals with Damascus and Syria. And also, as you go through that, to give some of the weakening of Israel. Other ones, Joel 3:19. Here's one, talking about Egypt and Edom in particular. Ezekiel 29 is the one that talks about Egypt being decimated for 40 years. That's Ezekiel 29, starting about verse 9. There's other passages that you can look at. I mentioned Psalm 83. I believe it's Isaiah 13. Let me take a look there. I didn't mention this one. I think it's Isaiah 13 that covers some of the destruction in, let's see here, in Babylon. Let me flip back through here and see if I can find that. Isaiah chapter 13. And some of these prophecies are really kind of interesting because sometimes people say, well, you know, haven't they been fulfilled? And they'll point to events that took place prior to when Isaiah or Ezekiel recorded these things. This is Isaiah chapter 13, talking about Babylon, which would, of course, look into the area of Iraq today. Mm-hmm. And there's a prophecy against Babylon, which is really kind of fascinating. In Isaiah 13, verse 5, it says, "They shall come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land." And as you read through this, it drops down here to verse number 10. It says, "For the stars of heaven and the constellation there shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." And remember when Saddam Hussein was burning the oil fields there in Kuwait and all, it basically was like that. Mm-hmm. And he goes on and he talks about shaking the heavens, and he talks about Babylon, which would be Iraq, being literally laid waste. And he says this, let me move around here a little bit. In verse number 19, he says, "In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." And how did he do that? Fire, remember, fire and brimstone rained down from heaven and consumed Sodom and Gomorrah. He says in verse 20, "It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there." Now, that's not happened because there's people living there today.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying it's so bad, nobody will even pitch a tent there. It goes on to describe wild animals going through there. And an interesting part before that says that in verse number 17, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye shall not spare children." And if you remember, Saddam Hussein gassed the Kurds, which were in the north of Iraq.
Yeah.
The Kurds are the modern-day descendants of the Medes. And the Kurds do not like some of the people in the south of Iraq. And it gives a picture here of Iraq suffering some, what I would guess to be some kind of nuclear attack. Mm-hmm. And them being, you know, kind of taken advantage of by the Medes from the north in a certain area here. Some of this stuff we're trying to put on YouTube. If you go to our website, Late Night Live, .maplenoel.us. We have some links to that, and we're trying to get some stuff up looking at this and kind of detailing some of this with some maps and everything, and also got some links to some stuff that I've been trying to write, some articles dealing with some of this, and encourage you to take a look at some of these things. And I believe this has got real potential, what's going on now. The Israeli government leaders have kind of gone into a silence mode on this issue as well. But we're out of time, and join us Friday as well as next Sunday night. Night. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al,
Visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.